If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. Today, as always, it is a joy to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We of Worth Baptist Church are anticipating a wonderful time together in the Lord today. We extend to you and to your family and friends a very cordial invitation to worship God with us today. Our Sunday school at Worth Baptist Church begins at 10 o'clock. Our specialty is the Word of God. The Bible is our only textbook. We believe that the Bible is God's eternal, infallible, and unchanging Word. We believe the Bible has the answer to the ills and problems of today's world. We invite you to study God's Word with us in our special series of lessons entitled, A Survey of the Bible. We are going through the entire Bible, one book every week, to survey the Word of God. We believe that this Bible study will be informative and interesting to you. Come today at 10 o'clock to a Sunday school that has a class for every member of your family, for every age and grade level. A Sunday school that is carefully supervised and thoroughly organized, teaching the Bible as it is to people as they are. Our motto in the Sunday school is teaching the whole Bible to the whole Sunday school to enlighten the whole family to the whole truth. Our Sunday morning worship service begins at 11 o'clock. This service is designed with your spiritual needs in mind. We believe that you'll find a warm and welcome atmosphere in which to worship God today. Do you not count it a privilege to worship God? In a land of the free, the home of the brave, where you have liberty and freedom to worship God according to the dictates of your own heart, surely you'll not let this day go by without worshiping the Creator, the Judge, the Almighty God of the universe. So we invite you to worship Him with us today. In the Sunday evening worship hour, which is at 7 o'clock, we will show the second in a series of four segments of slides on the lands of the Bible. The Holy Land, the land of Israel, will come alive to you in this beautiful presentation of color slides this evening at 7 o'clock. Remember, you are welcome here at Worth Baptist Church. We are located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. Our church is easily accessible from all parts of the city of Fort Worth and of Tarrant County. You can reach us by the Pauley Freeway, that's Highway 287 South, and by Loop 820 South. It would be our joy to have you worship God with us today at Worth Baptist Church. And we would like to hear from you by mail. Our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. Write us today, and we will send you one of our booklets entitled, The Bible is Right, or perhaps you'd like the booklet, Times Like These, or the little booklet, Your Life Belongs to God. We'd be happy to send these to you if you'll write this week and request them. They will be sent to you by return mail, free and postage paid. Remember the mailing address, Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, A Story to Tell. I am basing it upon what is probably the most familiar passage of Scripture in all the book of God, John 3:16. We shall read that verse, but before we do, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we're glad and grateful today for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the great story of redemption that Thou hast made known to us in a very real way in the person of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for this radio ministry, for this station that voices the gospel, and we would ask that as this message goes forth, that it might be used by the Holy Spirit to bring men to Christ. Surely Thou dost know the hearts of every person listening today, those who are in need spiritually, those who have emotional, mental problems, difficulties of life, sicknesses and sorrows. We ask that each one might find that sufficient portion of grace for this day. In Jesus' name we ask it all, and for Jesus' sake, and with thanksgiving, amen. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." A story to tell. The greatest story ever told is the story of God's love for mankind, the story of redeeming grace, the story of how Jesus Christ, God's Son, left the glory world to take upon Himself the likeness of sinful flesh, to come to this earth, to this world, and to die on Calvary's cross for our sins. It is a story of love, divine love. It is a story of grace, amazing grace. It is a story of mercy, the tender mercies of God. It is a story of justification, how that a poor lost sinner like yourself can be made in God's sight as though he had never sinned. It is a story of pardon and forgiveness and reconciliation of the sinner to God through the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Although this story has been told many times before, and in many languages all over the world, I'm here to tell it to you again today. There was an old song that my grandmother used to sing. I remember hearing it when I was just a boy. It is a song about the gypsy boy. The words of it go something like this: tell it again, salvation's story repeat o'er and o'er, till none can say of the children of men, nobody ever told me before. Yes, that's the purpose of this message on Worth Baptist Hour today, to tell the old, old story of redeeming grace. Let us observe in the first place that man's need for salvation is the same today as it has always been. The only thing that separates us from Adam is 6,000 years of human history. We have the same flesh, the same blood, the same needs, the same desires, the same weaknesses, the same temptations, the same imaginations of evil hearts that Adam had in the long ago. Because we have all of this, beloved, we have the same need for salvation as Adam did. You remember how Adam disobeyed God and how that he tried to hide himself from the Lord? But God came in the cool of the day, walking in the Garden of Eden, and he said, "Adam, where art thou?" Beloved, I hear that voice, the same voice of the Almighty, coming down through the ages of time, echoing across the centuries, calling you. He's asking you today, where are you? There have always been Adams who would disobey God. There have always been Cains who would murder their brothers. There have always been sinners like those in the day of Noah. There have always been Sodomites like those in Lot's day. There have always been Egyptians, Philistines, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and all of those who would defy God and spurn His mercy. Yes, there have always been men who would reject the mercies of God. What I'm saying is simply this: that in every age, on every continent, in every climate, Among every civilization, there have been sinners in need of the grace of God. And I am glad to report to you today that where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. You see, the grace of God is greater than all your sin. The grace of God can cover all your sin. Sin is sin, just like it was in the Garden of Eden. Oh, we've put different labels on it, to be sure. But it's the same disease. It's the same malady that has affected not only Adam, but every member of Adam's race. Sinners are the same. Beloved, outside the Lord Jesus Christ today, you are a hopelessly lost sinner. And there is but one hope for you, and that's for you to come to God through Jesus Christ, His Son. The same man that refused to go into the ark in the long ago would refuse to enter the ark of safety today. The same man that rejected the law of Moses from Mount Sinai would reject the Sermon on the Mount today. The same man that resisted the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached with power, that same man would resist the Holy Spirit today. In this modern, materialistic, mad age of magnificence, man thinks that he can redeem himself. The modern man thinks that he's a little god waiting to be crowned with honor and glory. Man thinks that he's his own savior, his own master. The Bible tells us that man was made in God's image and in God's likeness. We read it in the book of Genesis. We read that God said, "Let us make man in our own image." But in the 20th century, we've tried to reverse that. Man has tried to make a God in his, that is, in man's image. But beloved, this will not work. God has set out a principle. That principle is simply this: if we obey God, we are counted righteous in his sight. If we disobey God, we are unrighteous. If we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, acknowledge him and own him as Savior, we're in the right relationship with our Creator. But as long as we fail to do so, as long as we refuse, as long as we reject, as long as we go on in our own way of sin and selfishness, we're going contrary to the will and way and word of God. I've news for those who think that they can redeem themselves. The Bible says it is impossible for a man to redeem himself. The Bible declares that man is just as lost as he was ever lost. In spite of all of our achievements, in spite of all of our scientific breakthrough, in spite of all of our accomplishments in medicine and science and technology and space, in philosophy and learning and in skills of mankind, in spite of all these things, man is just what he is, a sinner before God. Man is diseased. Man is lost. Man is sick. The Bible declares that man is dead in trespasses and sin. You see, every man outside the Lord Jesus Christ is a dead man spiritually. And that dead man spiritually needs a resurrection. And that spiritual resurrection can come only by the power of the Holy Spirit through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The wages of sin have not changed. The Bible declares the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The wages of sin are the same as they were in the days of the patriarchs, or the prophets, or the apostles. And say, the sentence of death is the same. There is judgment beyond death. The Bible plainly states, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Let me warn you today, if you're trusting in your own righteousness, if you're trusting in baptism, if you're trusting in church membership, if you're trusting in your own good deeds, if you're trusting in your heritage, if you're trusting in anything apart from the redeeming grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, I warn you that you're eternally and hopelessly lost. Yes, man has the same need for salvation as he has always had in time past. Nothing has changed except man has become more sinful and more rebellious against God and against the Lord Jesus Christ. But his need for salvation remains the same. Yes, this is a story to tell. Man needs to be saved. In the second place, God's message of salvation is the same as it always has been. Noah preached the message of salvation in his day from the gangplank of the ark. Moses preached it from Mount Sinai. Isaiah and Jeremiah preached it in Solomon's temple. Ezekiel and Daniel preached it in Babylon. The minor prophets preached it all over Israel. John the Baptist came out of the wilderness preaching it to break the silence of 400 long years when there was no revelation, no message. But John the Baptist came as the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his paths straight." Yes, John the Baptist, that vital link between the old economy and the new, came on the scene declaring that the only way for man to be right with God would be for him to repent of his sin. Jesus came preaching it. Jesus said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." The Apostle Paul came preaching it. Paul declared that there was but one means of salvation. Paul lifted up the Lord Jesus Christ, exalted him, preached him as the crucified Savior, as risen from the dead, as the ascended Lord, as the coming King. The Apostle Paul preached the same message of salvation that I come preaching to you today. I preach it from John chapter 3 and verse 5. Ye must be born again. I preach it from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I preach it from John 3:18. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I preach it from John 3:36. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I preach it from John 5:24, where Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." I preach it from John chapter 14 and verse 6, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." I preach it from Acts 4:12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." I preach it from Romans 10:8, 9, and 10. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart." That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I preach it from Romans 10:13. "Whosoever," and that means you, hear it, my friend, "whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I preach it from Acts 16:31. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." I preach it from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Again, I say, the message of salvation is the same. In the third place, the Bible's picture of man's destiny is the same. There are two eternal turnpikes. These two eternal turnpikes lead to two different eternal destinies. Listen to Jesus. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Let me ask you today, do you know what it takes to go to heaven? Someone might say it takes baptism. Someone might say it takes the observance of the ordinances. Someone might say it takes church membership. But I declare unto you, by the authority of God's word, it takes one simple thing, and that is faith in the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment you say that eternal yes to Jesus Christ, that moment you'll be traveling the turnpike to glory. Someone might ask, but what does a man have to do to go to hell? The answer, nothing. Man, who is a sinner by nature, does not have to do anything to go to hell. You see, man is in rebellion against God. By nature, man is an alien from God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is none righteous, there is none that seeketh after God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, that is on Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Which way are you traveling? Have you heard this old, old story? I repeat, the greatest story ever told is the story of redeeming grace. Salvation is of the Lord, and salvation can be yours today if you will simply open the door of your heart, trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And then you will be on your way to heaven, and you too will have a story to tell. May I remind you that on March 5th, Worth Baptist Church will celebrate its 18th anniversary. We trust that you'd mark that date and be with us. And again, we invite you to come to the services of Worth Baptist Church today. And until next Lord's Day, at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.